Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio, creating waves of awareness over the airwaves, via the internet, and by friends telling friends they care, working in unity to promote homeopathy around the globe. Every Sunday through Thursday, join us for a personal tour of Who's Reading the Organon, a show hosted by HWC founder and homeopath Debbie Brook. She invites you to comment and call in to contribute your thoughts as we complete reading Samuel Hahnemann's Organon. Let's go!
Hi, I'm Debbie Brook, founder of Homeopathy World Community, taking some time out in the day to begin with some inspiration to talk a bit about current events and to read the words of Dr. Samuel Hahnemann in his Organon of Medicine. Today is October 4, 2010. And you're listening to show number 106. Thank you for joining me. I would like to remind everyone that this is simply a study session, and listeners must consult their healthcare provider. Oh, I forgot to mention, yesterday a milestone was reached with 10,000 Twitter followers, and in my mini blog that's connected to Twitter, I had 140,000 views. Don't forget to go over to the Blog Talk Radio, Who's Reading the Organon website. Click Listen, Friend, Favorite, and Comment. You can listen to the old shows and download them to your computer, iTunes, or iPod. Today's inspiration comes from Twitter. Billy Cox wrote, "The future belongs to those who give the next generation reason for hope," quoted by Pierre Teilhard de Chardin. And I reply to that little tweet with a retweet and back at him, and I said, we really need this now because the future generations need us to inspire them with hope that things will be better in a world that is so difficult. Also, someone named Scout66Com wrote or retweeted all great quotes, says, your daily inspiration pill. Take one quote three times a day. And I did, I retweeted that also, and I wrote back and said, can I quote this? Another two short little quotes, one from Neil Gibson, quotes Albert Einstein. It is a miracle that curiosity survives formal education. So question whatever you're being taught, make it your own, finding meaning in it, understand what you're being taught, and so that something new can be derived from it. And definitely don't let your curiosity be stifled by being pegged in a hole. Then we're going to one more quote from Smile Lotus, who quotes John Wooden. Quote, things turn out best for people who make the best of the way things turn out. I love it when you can reword the words in a sentence and they come out sounding something like that. Also, recently, I read yesterday the story posted by Dr. Shalandra Kumar Mangane about acute ankle pain with swelling. He really helped his patient go through a difficult time for gout and excruciating pain that made the individual scream out. And he had had a lot of therapy before. He'd had a lot of medication, both allopathic and homeopathic medication. And finally, he was able to analyze and take a good case and come up with a good prescription for taking care of this person. And what I want to direct your attention to is a recent New York Times article called "A Battle Against Prescription Drugs Causes Pain." And this is the story of Roland Lorenz, who had surgical screws put in his back and his neck and a pin in his upper leg. And when his pain reared up one recent weekend, he knew he needed something strong. He had just been to a pain clinic where the doctor ordered an increase in the dosage of Percocet. It's a narcotic. It took 2 days for him to get the painkiller. So you can imagine, he was in a lot of pain, and he wanted to be able to get through that difficult time. Well, Mr. Lorenz, age 75, lives in a nursing home in St. Louis. Until recently, the nurses would have just sent in an order to the pharmacy for the Percocet based on instructions phoned in from the clinic. It's a longstanding practice for nursing homes, which typically do not have a full-time doctor on staff. But now that practice has come under the scrutiny of the Drug Enforcement Administration. Last November, the pharmacy serving Mr. Lorenz's nursing home announced that it would no longer dispense certain narcotics without a written or fax prescription from the doctor. For Mr. Lorenz, this meant a weekend suffering in pain. The doctor at the pain clinic was not available, and the nursing home's doctor on call would not write a prescription without examining Mr. Lorenz in person. For the next 2 days, Mr. Lorenz said, quote, "I was miserable. I needed it to get straightened out. It was killing me," unquote. Staff members assured him that the drug was on its way at least 6 or 7 times, said Mr. Lorenz, a former Marine and police officer. I guess that indicates that he was a pretty strong guy in his lifetime and had been through a lot of pain and could deal with it. He said, "It'll be there by midnight. It'll be there by 2 a.m. The pharmacist kept saying he needed to talk to the doctor. It was really, real rough. Nursing homes and doctors say patients like Mr. Lorenz have become unintended casualties in the war on drugs because of a new level of enforcement intended to prevent narcotics from getting into the wrong hands. About 1.4 million Americans live in nursing homes. The DEA is investigating pharmacists in about 5 states for dispensing the drugs to nursing homes without direct written orders from a doctor, said Gary L. Boggs, an executive assistant in the agency's Office of Diversion Control. Remember the other day I told you that they were doing a drug hand in back, come and bring us your drugs that you've got stored up in your medicine cabinets, and that was a way that they could collect all of the people's stored drugs. Anyway, back to the story. Early this year, the Senate Special Committee on Aging heard testimony from long-term care professionals describing delays in delivering pain medications to patients. Two Democratic committee members, Senators Herb Kohl of Wisconsin and Sheldon Whitehouse of Rhode Island, have urged Attorney General Eric Holder, Jr. to find a solution. Quote, "We keep hearing the right things from the DEA on the issue, but we haven't seen any action," Mr. Kohl said through an aide. So Mr. Boggs said the agency was just trying to protect patients. Quote, "This isn't a matter of us being bureaucratic pencil pushers," he said. "What we see is nurses unilaterally calling in prescriptions or pharmacists dispensing controlled substances without a prescription, then trying to get a doctor to sign a prescription for a patient he never saw. In the meantime, doctors say their patients suffer, sometimes for half an hour, sometimes for several days. Quote, there's just a lot of potential for error in the process," said Dr. Jonathan Musher, a geriatrician and past president of the American Medical Director Association, a trade group of long-term care doctors and administrators which has sought a change in the requirements. Well, the story can be finished in learning and reading about what happened during this episode, on the New York Times website. And I wanted to bring this up for a special reason, because without taking a prescription, if there were homeopaths on staff in nursing homes, in hospitals, in clinics, if they were available, they could recommend a homeopathic remedy to deal with pain. Recently, Medina Jabin posted on the Homeopathy World Community website a question to the members: what is pain? And I'll post that link for you. There are all types of pain medications for all kinds of conditions. Some are for surgery, other for incarcerated gas, some for labor, some for injury, some for old age. There's even homeopathic remedies for those going through the pains of death. We have, there is another article also on the website, a wonderful article regarding pain, and I'm going to click over to it in a minute so that I can read you a little bit, so I can read you a little bit about it. And it is under that particular blog, under pain, where Medina Jabin has asked, what about the sensations of pain? What's happening in the mind, in the body during this time? What's the relationship even, she goes into, between pain and the soul? I don't know if we have any answers to that, but we have Dr. Navneet Badani, who writes in, all that we are is the result of what we have thought. If a man speaks or acts with an evil thought, pain follows him. If a man speaks or acts with a pure thought, happiness follows him, like a shadow that never leaves him. And that is a quote from Buddha. And it started that, I guess, in response to her question about the soul. Then he says, dear Medina, here is my understanding of pain. Here's the definition. An uneasy sensation in animal bodies from slight uneasiness due to extreme distress or torture proceeding from a derangement of functions, disease, or injury by violence, bodily distress, bodily suffering, an ache, a smart. And then, because homeopathy is so specialized, he has a long listing of types and descriptions of pain. And this is how a homeopath gets the cues from the individual's body, symptoms, vital force, as to what type of remedy is going to match the type of pain and help the body initiate some alleviation of that pain. So he begins, it looks like in alphabetical order, defining the different qualities and types of pain. For instance, if it's an ache, a pain that is steady, dull, and not too strong, an ache may be local, as in a stomach ache, a headache, a bone ache. It may be general, as in the ache of a flu. Then boring, which is dull and advancing steadily like a burrowing. There's burning pain like a hot poker stuck in you or like a flame. There's cutting pain that's sharply penetrating, shearing, or piercing like being cut with a knife. We have darting pain, rapid, sudden, and swift, with or without changing direction. There's digging pain, forcefully thrusting against. And I will continue to read a couple more of these different qualities of pain. I see that some of the members of the Homeopathy World Community may be listening in. And so I'm going to continue here with the definitions or the different qualities that you're going to need to elicit from the patient to understand what kind of distress and pain that individual is incurring during his episode. Is it digging pain, forcefully thrusting against, like something was being dug out of you with a knife? Drawing pain, pulling or stiffening up, like something was pulling hard on the painful part, fulgurating like lightning, sudden and excruciating, gnawing like someone chewing or eroding in a persistent manner, like you said something is chewing on you, lancinating, piercing, stabbing, sharply cutting like being sliced with a lancet, pressing like something was pushing hard on you, like something, there's rending like tearing and splitting, bursting or cutting apart, shooting, passing through swiftly, rapidly or suddenly, sore like a bruise, stabbing like a knife stab and stitching like a sewing needle. You see how you can elicit these types and descriptions of the quality of the pain, and they can all be so different. One, like the stabbing, it's like the knife stabs in and it stays in, and the other kind is stitching like a needle that goes up and down and goes in and out. There's sticking pain, like prickling, as if you've been pricked by a garden plant. There's so many different qualities and so many understanding, and each person is able to describe it in their own unique way. And in this particular article, Dr. Badani goes on and explains the physiology of pain, the receptors of pain, the nervous system, how it reacts and expresses itself in the body, in the tissues, in the different organs. And then he talks about the evaluation of pain. So this is a beautiful contribution to our resources here. And hopefully more people will contribute to that particular article. And we're going to go ahead. Oh, I also wanted to mention that when we describe pain, there's different kinds of remedies for different stages of development. So there's specific ones that are for infants who are having colic or teens that are going through transformation, menstruation. There's for middle age. There's for the transitions in life and for seniors and elderly, for different kinds of pains in the different parts of the body, whether it's abdominal or bone. I've mentioned that before. So we're now ready to go into our reading of the Organon and see how today's current events pertains to what we have just learned and read about dealing with pain. Aphorism number 89 in the Organon of Medicine. It begins, when the patient, for it is him we have chiefly to rely for a description of his sensations, except in the case of feigned diseases, has by these details given of his own accord and in answer to inquiries furnished the requisite information and traced a tolerably perfect picture of the disease, the physician is at liberty and obliged, if he feels he has not yet gained all the information he needs, to ask more precise, more special questions. And that's the aphorism. There is a footnote which reads as follows. For example, how often are his bowels moved? What is the exact character of the stools? Did the whitish evacuation consist of mucus or feces? Had he or had he not pains during the evacuation? What was their exact character, and where were they seated? What did the patient vomit? Is the bad taste in the mouth putrid or bitter or sour or what? Before or after eating or during the repast? At what period of the day was it worst? What is the taste of what is eructated? Does the urine only become turbid on standing, or is it turbid when first discharged? What is its color when first emitted? Of what color is the sediment? How does he behave during sleep? Does he whine, moan, talk, or cry out in his sleep? Does he start during sleep? Does he snore during inspiration or during expiration? Does he lie only on his back or on which side? Does he cover himself well up or can he not bear the clothes on him? Does he easily awake and does he sleep too soundly? How does he feel immediately after waking from sleep? How often does this or that symptom occur? What is the cause that produces it each time it occurs? Does it come on while sitting, lying, standing, or in motion? Only when fasting, or in the morning, or only in the evening, or only after a meal? Or when does it usually appear? I'm looking for where I was. When did the rigor come on? Was it merely a chilly sensation? Or was he actually cold at the same time? If so, in what parts? Or while feeling chilly, was he actually warm to the touch? Was it merely a sensation of cold without shivering? Was he hot without redness of the face? What parts of him were hot to the touch? Or did he complain of heat without being hot to the touch? How long did the chilliness last? How long the hot stage? When did the thirst come on? During the cold stage, during the heat, or previous to it, or subsequently to it? How great was the thirst, and what was the beverage desired? When did the sweat come on, at the beginning or at the end of the heat, or how many hours after the heat, when asleep or when awake? How great was the sweat? Was it warm or cold? On what parts? How did it smell? What does he complain of before or during the cold stage? What during the hot stage? What after it? What during and after the sweating stage? In women, note the character of menstruation and other discharges, etc. Now, that was a lengthy list of types of information to be elicited from the patient, because these were descriptions from a group of aphorisms that we have been reading on how the homeopath, the physician, is able to take a case and understand the needs of the patient based on precisely what the patient says in his own words. At first, we are just listening, allowing the patient to free flow the ideas, thoughts, sensations, and symptoms being experienced. Then, after we have taken notes and listed one by one the major points, we're leaving space on the paper to fill in the blanks, to find out the details, so that we can go back into the repertory and find out exactly what is needed. Because this type of information has been recorded through provings of individuals who have experienced these qualities, these sensations, these situations and symptoms in their life, and it matches a particular homeopathic remedy, a particular substance that has come from plant, mineral, animal, or other substances, such as radioactive waves or other things in the environment, like lightning. Therefore, how do we find out this type of information? If it's an acute situation, we can normally get it because the patient is so in touch with the pain, so in touch with the sensations, that they will automatically describe what state of being they are living in. But in other cases, when a condition is long-term and chronic, the person is so used to these types of symptoms, so used to the types of pains, that they kind of relegate it to the back of their mind. And we have to ask them specific questions. And also, the homeopath who is learned and has read the Organon and has studied his cases and has studied the repertory and the materia medica, like a dictionary of all of the homeopathic remedies, that an encyclopedia of them, and a recording of the provings, that they are so familiar, they know that when somebody says, it hurts when my bowels moved, and it hurts at this time of day, then we can also want to know all of the types of sensations and further descriptions that Hahnemann has just listed for us to become keenly aware of, to know how often are the bowels moved, what is the exact character of the stools. And for the homeopath, this can be a very sensitive time with the patient, because a patient might be private type of person, embarrassed, not wanting to talk about something so personal, about how often they're going to the bathroom, the kind of bowel movement and the complete description of the odors and the sensations and the feelings and the looks and the feels of the stool. This is quite personal information. However, if we're able to let the patient be completely comfortable knowing that we are non-judgmental, unbiased, just eliciting the facts, just wanting to know so that we can care for them, then they'll be able to describe this for us. And then we can have really tangible, solid information to base a prescription, to base our remedy selection. And I'm not going to go through in detail again, as we have in the past, about all of the questions listed. Just open up your Organon, look up aphorism number 89, and read again and again the types of things that you're looking for, all the different kinds of sensations and qualities and details. And I would say using lots of adjectives, lots of words that describe what is going on for the patient. And we only have a few minutes left to the end of the show. It went quite quickly today. And I want to thank everyone for listening. It was an early show because I've got other things to do during this particular day. I'm wondering if there's a little puzzler I could give you at the end, if I could fill it in. There's 2 minutes. Maybe I can do it really, really quickly. This is called The Young Archer. A duke was hunting in the forest when his men-at-arms and servants when he came across a tree. Upon it, archery targets were painted, and smack in the middle of each was an arrow. "Who is this incredibly fine archer?" cried the duke. "I must find him." After continuing through the forest for a few miles, he came across a small boy carrying a bow and an arrow. Eventually, the boy admitted that it was he who shot the arrows plumb in the center of all the targets. "You didn't just walk up to the targets and hammer the arrows into the middle, did you?" asked the duke worriedly. "No, my lord. I shot them from a hundred paces. I swear by it all that I hold holy." "That is truly astonishing," said the duke. "I hereby admit you into my service." The boy thanked him profusely. "But I must admit one favor in return," the duke continued. "You must tell me how you came to be such an outstanding shot." How would he get to be such a good shot? So we're going to find out. There's only a minute left in the show, and I'll give you a minute to think about it. I know that many people have heard this before. It's really quite obvious. The answer is that the boy did shoot the arrow, and then afterwards, then he painted the circle around it. So how we take our case, we listen very intently, very open-mindedly, very unbiased to our patient. We elicit all the details, and then we can paint our circle and find out what is the matching remedy. That's the end of the show today, and I thank everyone for listening. Take your Organon off the shelf and
Thank you for listening to Who's Reading the Organon with homeopath Debbie Brook on Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio. Remember to take the Organon off the shelf and read it.